Good afternoon and welcome to The Lunchroom, sponsored by Navita Designs, powered by Renault Construction and Industrial Products Limited. And we are live on Radio Caribbean International for Tuesday, December the 10th. It's day number 344 of the year 2019. And this is our 195th airing of The Lunchroom. I'm your host, Calix George Jr. And in addition to radio, 101.1, 99.1 FM, you can also follow us live online at our website, rcistlucia.com, rcistlucia.com, and also via Facebook Live. Just search for the official page of Radio Caribbean International, and please remember to like and share that as well with your friends and family. And today, on today's menu, we're looking for the dish of the day. We'll be touching again a little bit about the Dominica general elections, trying to track down Mr. Lennox Linton's accused 8,000 people who flew into the country for elections. And during the rest of the program, I'll try to touch on a little bit about Haiti as the 10th anniversary of the January 12th, 2010 earthquake approaches. Today is also Human Rights Day, and so we'll comment on the state of justice in St. Lucia and the need for us to be doing a lot more. And traffic woes, hopefully it'll be getting better very soon. And as well, DSH, the race is on this Friday. And then what? And what about the cost to us? And that's what we'll be touching on a little later in the program. But now, birthday wishes for December the 10th go out to Mr. Errol Charles, Mrs. Cynthia Joseph, Miss Valanda Emilia, Miss Keisha Lawrenson, Mr. Trevon Francis, Miss Stacy Sonny, Miss Algitha Richelieu, Mr. Augustus Cadet, and Miss Sherry Fontenelle. I believe she's over in Canada. But a happy birthday to each and every one of you, and may you be blessed especially with health and happiness in the year to come. And today in history, for December the 10th in 1520, Martin Luther publicly burns a papal edict demanding that he recants from his positions. Of course, that's the beginning of the Protestant movement in Europe. In 1799, the metric system is first adopted in France. In 1844, The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn by Mark Twain is first published in the United Kingdom and in Canada. And in fact, it's published the year after in the United States due to a printing error. In 1898, the end of the Spanish-American War formally ended by the Treaty of Paris, and that results in the United States acquiring the Philippines, Guam, and Puerto Rico. And in 1901, the first Nobel Peace Prizes were awarded to Red Cross founder Jean-Henri Dunant and peace activist Frederick Passy. And also in 1936, Edward VIII signed instruments of abdication, giving up the British throne to marry an American divorcee, Wallace Simpson, and that leads, therefore, to George VI becoming King of England, and then on to Elizabeth II, his daughter. And in 1964, the Nobel Peace Prize is presented to none other than Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. in Oslo, Norway. And now we move on to our dish of the day. The Daily Dish is brought to you with the kind compliments of our good friends at Tiles Plus.
We have tiles for inside and outside. Bathroom, kitchen with the best price. We range from colors to size. So anytime you want tile, come down and get tile. Everybody welcome to Tiles Plus. Come get your tiles with the low cost. Tiles with the style like a Christmas. All kind of tiles, cars, we are the boss. Everybody welcome to Tiles Plus. Come get your tiles with the low cost. Tiles with the style like a crisscross. All kind of tiles, cars, we are the boss. We are located Lance Road in Castries, Bossejou, Grosile, and Clark Street in VA4. Telephone number 453-7939. That's telephone number 453-7939. Tiles Plus.
Serving now, The Daily Dish.
And welcome back to The Lunchroom for this Tuesday. Of course, this is our last week on air for the year. So we will, in fact, be wrapping up this Thursday. That will be our last program for the year. So we do hope that you've enjoyed the production thus far. Thank you very much for listening. And, of course, your call is very important to us as well, sharing your opinions and letting us know what you're really thinking out there in Radioland. Now, we have been covering quite extensively, of course, the Dominica election. general election in Dominica, in our sister island there. I think there are very few countries that are as close culturally to St. Lucia than Dominica. Very, very similar histories, shared common language in Creole. Of course, there was a time St. Lucia was known as Fille de la Martinique, the daughter of Martinique. And certainly, of course, there are very strong connections and relationships with St. Lucia and Martinique. But in particular, the similarities with Dominica are very strong. And I think the bonds have certainly become stronger as a result of Hurricane Maria. So since then, of course, we've seen an election come and gone. And that, of course, resulted in an 18-3 majority for the incumbent Dominica Labour Party led by Mr. Roosevelt Skerrit. And he has been around since about the year 2000, I do believe. In fact, originally in a coalition government with the Freedom Party, but then eventually he won outright in the 2004 election, I do believe. And so since then, of course, he's been managing to be able to continue to win, and he did just that for the fourth time in 2019 on December the 6th, just last week, Friday. Now, since then, we have heard from Mr. Lennox Linton, and the accusation, of course, coming out of him is that there has, in fact, been quite a lot of vote rigging, and there has been a call for electoral reform. One of those calls was particularly guided by the influx, or what was an apparent influx of Dominicans from the diaspora coming in to vote in that election. Now, of course, this is perhaps nothing new in the St. Lucian context or in the Caribbean context, where we do see that. We do know that that leaders go out there and they try very much to be courting the support of the diaspora. They go to the Toronto and New York and London and other metropoles seeking the support of individuals. Now, Dominica, in fact, has a very large diaspora. In fact, the idea is very likely that there are more Dominicans living outside of Dominica than St. Lucia, than in Dominica itself. And quite a number in St. Lucia, indeed, and the French neighboring islands of Martinique and Guadeloupe in particular. So as a result of that, there was this astounding accusation being made by the political leader of the United Workers' Party in Dominica, Mr. Lennox Linton, that over 8,000 individuals were brought into the country by the Dominica Labour Party to participate and to vote for that party. And of course, the question is that fair? Is that in fact skewing the vote? Is that a bit of a disenfranchisement of the individuals living within the country when you have so many people from the outside coming in? And in fact, did that fact skew the overall result? Since then, however, we have seen a release coming out of the Dominica Air and Seaports Authority. And they actually gave a very extensive breakdown, which I'm not going to read right now, but it gave a very extensive breakdown indicating what were the numbers of persons who came in both by ferry and by flights, by airlift, into Dominica in the same period, December 1st to the 6th of 2018, and then they gave the comparative figures for December 1st to the 6th, 2019. So, in effect, what they were showing was that to get a sense as to what was, in fact, the relative increase in a non-election year versus an election year of 2019. And based on that, those figures, there wasn't a great change in the ferry numbers. It seems to suggest that it was about the same, I believe, but there was certainly an increase in the numbers for airlift coming in. And of course, I don't think that was any secret at all, because we in fact did see images, in fact, right here in St. Lucia, where flights were coming in, charter flights were coming into Hiwanora, and then those flights were then taking on persons via smaller aircraft, ATRs, into Melville Hall Airport in Dominica. Now, the result, however, is nowhere near that 8,000 figure which was being suggested by Mr. Linton. It seems much closer to be around 500 persons. That's just roughly about, I suppose, the equivalent of about three medium-sized aircraft. So certainly, or perhaps about, let's say, 10 ATRs, small flights, ATRs coming in. So it certainly was not the level to which was being suggested by Mr. Linton, but as to whether, in fact, it did have a major impact in maybe some critical seats, that's always a possibility to be looked at in terms of where exactly these individuals were actually going to end up voting. If it's in a very marginal seat, then, of course, even 25 votes impacted in maybe some critical seats. That's always a possibility in terms of where these individuals were actually going to end up voting if it's in a very marginal seat then of course even 25 votes impact in maybe some critical seats. That's always a possibility to be looked at in terms of where exactly these individuals were actually going to end up voting. If it's in a very marginal seat, then of course even 25 votes impact in maybe some critical seats. That's always a possibility to be looked at in terms of where exactly these individuals were actually going to end up voting. If it's in a very marginal seat, then of course even 25 votes impact in maybe some critical seats. That's always a possibility to be looked at in terms of where exactly these individuals were actually going to end up voting. If it's in a very marginal seat, then of course even 25 votes.
Welcome to Tiles Plus. Come get your tiles with the low cost. Tiles with the style like a Christmas. All kind of tiles, cars. We are the boss. Everybody welcome to Tiles Plus. Come get your tiles with the low cost. Tiles with the style like a crisscross. All kind of tiles, cars. We are the boss. We are located Lance Road in Castries, Bosses, Jugros Delay, and Clark Street in VFR. Telephone number 453-7939. That's telephone number 453-7939. Tiles Plus.
And welcome back to the lunchroom. Of course, you can call in to join in the conversation on whatever you so choose as your topic, your dish of the day. What's on your plate, indeed, can be told to the listening public. And so we certainly welcome that. Your number, of course, to dial is 4523046. That's 4523046. And as well, you can reach us on WhatsApp. The number is 724-0008. Now, indeed, as I mentioned yesterday, I attended a number of exceptional events over the weekend. One of those, although I did not attend the one where there was apparently making of snow angels in the fake snow, apparently that was an event held at over the weekend in the tent in Rodney Bay. And I think some individuals were, in fact, complaining about the resulting plastic pollution on Raidry Beach as a result of all the fake snow. Haven't gotten quite the details of that as yet, but I was not at that event. However, one of those that was held was for a truly great and exceptional Caribbean man, a legal luminary par excellence, and that was the Right Honorable Sir Charles Michael Dennis Byron. He's a former Chief Justice of the Eastern Caribbean Supreme Court. Dennis Byron was born in St. Kitts in 1943. And after attending the St. Kitts Grammar School, he won a very highly coveted Leeward Island Scholarship, and that's the only scholarship available, government scholarship at the time, for the islands of St. Kitts, Nevis, Anguilla, Antigua and Barbuda, and Montserrat. So certainly very accomplished by simply doing that alone. And certainly we will speak about his life a little bit more and the importance of justice in St. Lucia and in the Caribbean. We have a call coming in at this point. Let's try to take this call very quickly. Good afternoon and welcome to the lunchroom. What's on your plate today?
Innumerable issues, colleagues. except that I would touch on just two items here. One is to congratulate the winning party in Dominica, headed by Scott. I think that was a tremendous success on his part. And of course, people would, you know, complain, people would palaver, people would be bravadoic. That's okay. It is, you know, the vast majority has spoken, and it has spoken, you know, effectively, meaningfully, collectively, properly, intelligently, and intellectually as well. So congratulations to him. The other issue for me is that Human Rights Day is today, and the earlier in the month, the United Nations Declaration of the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, there was an item today marking the celebration or the commemoration of rights of persons with disabilities. I was not able to attend that particular ceremony in circumstances beyond my control, and I need to congratulate our president, Moses James.
Carla, could you just speak up a little louder? I think we're not quite hearing you fully.
Oh, dear me. I have a loud voice in your colleague. I don't need to start again, do I?
No. I think we were just...
I need now to speak of the International Day of Human Rights. And also earlier in the month, there was Declaration of the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. And to commemorate this, the National Council of Persons with Disabilities, there was an item, hopefully today, I couldn't have attended because of circumstances beyond my control. But I need to say very, very clearly and emphatically that we have moved somewhat. You know, the persons with disabilities are being more recognized, and we now feel a little bit more comfortable in the midst of a society that has rejected us over millennia. And, I must congratulate MIMO and various international agencies for recognizing the rights of persons with disabilities have rights as well. It almost sounds stupid for me to say that persons with disabilities have rights.
Well, we all do. Yeah.
We do, however, but it sounds rather ridiculous, you know, for people to be complaining and clamoring about rights of persons with disabilities. You know, there are hundreds of millions of persons who are out there have made contributions, meaningful contributions, and visible contributions, and people have really, we're now being looked at as individuals. Again, I misquote, you know, saying that we're being looked at as individuals. We have always been individuals. So I need to say this, though, that with a disability myself, I'm visually impaired. When I go to these stores, supermarkets, I think Massey and Company and whoever else, the big ones, you need to train your staff as to how to assist persons with disabilities, and also senior citizens. I walk in there, I have a white cane, which is very, very visible.
Right.
And, I walk in. And sometimes, I walk around. I have a visual disability, and I don't want to be knocking things off shelves and so on, you know. I mean,
right.
I do respect. But, you know, people don't seem to recognize you. They don't realize that here's a man, you know, a full-grown man with a handicap, an impediment. And so... I know, I can recognize certain colors. When I look at, see the color of, our staff, and I say, oh, can I help? I need some assistance. And they say, look the thing on the shelf.
Okay, yeah.
Laugh and I'm annoyed at the same time.
Right.
Look it there on the shelf. I said, but look, wait a sec. You don't realize that this person is cordially friendly. With a smile, probably a forced one.
Well, really, Carla, that's not a tone that anybody should be using for anybody, whether or not they have a disability. So I think clearly that overall the customer service approach needs to be improved.
Of cool.
Not of course at a supermarket, but everywhere really. Because you get that attitude in way too many places and instances.
And what could happen, and what should happen, is that when there needs to be a time of the year when these big companies have their workshops and the upgrading of customer service, the National Council of Persons with Disabilities should be invited to speak to the staff as to how to deal or to sort of communicate.
That's an excellent recommendation, and I really do hope that it's taken up. Perhaps we can work towards that. In fact, I'm hoping, for instance, that Mr. Mufulis James, the president, is going to come on the program at some point, maybe in the new year. But certainly that's some of those relationships that need to happen. Perhaps even maybe the Chamber of Commerce should invite Mr. James to address the membership and to raise the awareness. Because even in the absence of legislation,
mm-hmm.
I think it's something, mm-hmm. there's a lot that can be done that and should be done by businesses as well as public services as well.
Speaking of legislation, I hear that there's a move to ratify the United Nations Declaration of Rights of Persons with Disabilities.
I think from what Mr. James said, it has been ratified or it has been signed off.
Yeah, well, it was signed off long ago, but it's not ratification. So that the government, you know, you could sign, mm-hmm. but to ratify is another issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I have heard some rumors, but I have no absolute clear-cut information that this has happened. And if it has happened...
Well, we did speak with Mr. James on the day itself for persons with disabilities, and he did say that it had been ratified. So I'm assuming that that he knows what he's speaking of. So let's hope that, it has been done. Yeah. But, of course, that's just one step now. What really... We love to ratify so many documents, so many... agreements, UN conventions,
mm-hmm.
but the steps that have to be taken now, you know, and the local authorities have to be done, you know, so the appropriate strategies, the appropriate plans, the appropriate...
Correct. I mean, national strategies, you know, the overall inclusion, you see, all inclusiveness and this sort of thing, you know, so that's it. I want to thank you, Alex, for, you know, giving me the time to speak on this issue.
Oh, certainly.
Take good care now.
And thanks very much.
All the very best for the season.
The season greetings to you as well. Yeah, thank you very much.
Take care.
We have another call coming in. Good afternoon and welcome to the lunchroom. What's on your plate today?
Good afternoon to your colleagues.
And how are you, sir?
Let me just say thank you to RSL.
RCI. Radio Caribbean International.
RCI for allowing us, allowing you to be on to give us all this information throughout the year. I want to say thank you to them and to all the other programs that they have. On my plate today is that the Dominica situation. I wonder why we call ourselves Caribbean people, and I use the word Caribbean because sometimes when Caribbean people come to the aid of CARICOM, which is CARICOM, for example, our policemen going to other islands to help, or other policemen coming to help us here, we must take into consideration that this is one Caribbean. This is a Caribbean that all of us has the very same problems. And as you indicated, when it comes to elections, people do come by. But I'm wondering why that we want to, some people want to make a cry over, especially St. Lucians want to make a cry over people going into Dominica to vote. Most of our people outside of St. Lucia, I believe one day will come back. The children comes back to holidays. And it is our country. And if you are, just like the United States would allow people who are outside of the United States to vote, outside of the United States, I think it is time that our constitution or our laws have our people born in St. Lucia, born St. Lucians, have a right for what happens into our country, free up this nonsense that people cannot come in to vote. And saying that, my brother, I just want to indicate that why our Prime Minister, especially in the Beaufort area, concerning the DSH and project in the Beaufort area, do not come and speak to us, but goes all over the United States, Europe, and sort of speak to our people. Is he not going out there to tell our people what's happening in St. Lucia? So why can our people when you go out to speak to our people out there, why you want them to be concerned about what you want to do, but when it comes to a decision, we do not want them to come. I make that call to all people of St. Lucia, living outside of St. Lucia, who has an interest by way of family, by way of friends, and by way of concern that we've got to protect this land of ours. When it is election time, if you can come in to vote, I invite you to come in and place that vote wherever you feel like, whether it's the United Workers Party or PLC or any other party. I think we should give them that right, and we should stop that nonsense about people coming into the country of their birth, and whereas we have people who are not born here can become our leader. My brother, have a blessed day.
Okay, thank you, caller. But are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Would you support some form of maybe postal voting or maybe electronic voting for persons in the diaspora? Do you think that is the way that we need to go?
I am concerned about people born in St. Lucia. Once you are born in St. Lucia, you have a right in this land. You are concerned in this land because where I live, right, and where I go around St. Lucia, we have all our expatriates, those who went up to England and the United States, who spent all the time there, work hard in building up those countries, are back in St. Lucia now. So we must think of our repatriated people when they come back, that they can have a say. So anywhere they are, if they're in Mars and they can vote, they want to vote in St. Lucia, once they are born in St. Lucia, I think we should get that right. That is my position, my brother.
Thank you very much, caller.
You're welcome.
Thanks for sharing it. Indeed. Of course, it's a very topical issue. I think some people take objection sometimes for people in overseas, St. Lucians living overseas, who think that they really know all that's going on in St. Lucia. Sometimes, quite often, in fact, sometimes these individuals may very well be removed from the day-to-day happenings, the quality of life issues. They may be seeing things from a distance, and they may not always have a full sense of what is going on. And of course, the other issue too, which some people may argue, is that these individuals are not actually paying taxes. They're not necessarily making a direct contribution to the state, albeit a number of them do, in fact, send back remittances. And that's very critical for a lot of families in St. Lucia, no doubt. But so the question is, how do you, in fact, strike that balance? And I think in most of the legislation across the region, the expectation is that you must visit the country every so often. In the case of citizenship or permanent residence, for instance, in Canada, we had Deirdre Powell, an immigration lawyer here, a few weeks ago, and her indication was, of course, that you have to spend about 6 months, at least 6 months, in Canada to be considered a permanent resident before you actually get your citizenship. I'm not sure what applies once you've gotten citizenship. Probably that is not the same, because then you're already a citizen. That cannot be taken away from you. So perhaps there has to be some means by which one still has to maintain some connectivity or some connection with the country that you are, in fact, at. Now, I believe we're going to have to take a break at this point in time for our weather. When we come back, we'll continue having our discussion. We wanted to get on the whole issue of the contribution of Sir Denis Byron, and as well taking, of course, the whole fact of the Caribbean Court of Justice, established since 2005 or 2004, thereabouts, and yet still we are not a member. So, hold on strong until we get through with our weather and then a few ads as well.
Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas!
Yes, it's that time again. Navita Designs, now housed at Reno Construction and Industrial Products Limited, Vite Boutte, is all stocked and ready to offer you the most unique and elegant Christmas decor for any space. Whether it's white Christmas, red and white peppermint, multicolored candy, or the more contemporary, elegant combinations, we've got it. Don't forget that small accent pieces goes a long way to give that wow effect. And what says Christmas more than the act of giving? So remember to pick up all your gift wrapping essentials and Christmas stockings to bring good cheer. At Navita Designs, we do the creative thinking for you. Visit us at our new showroom in Vite Boutte on the John Compton Highway or call us at 450-7246. Navita Designs Christmas Collection, sponsored by Reno Construction and Industrial Products Limited. Let the magic begin.
What you mean free tiles?
Well, madam, for every 100 tiles you buy at our regular price,
at Island Star, we'll give you up to an amazing 25 times free.
Really?
And to be honest, yeah, we've probably gone a little much.
Wow, that's a deal. And good timing too. So I can pretty up my house in time for Christmas. And look how nice those tiles are.
Free tiles, ceramic tiles, porcelain tiles, all tiles, no exception. Visit us at Bella Rosa, Rodney Bay, John Crompton Highway, Cass Trees, and Lot Tony, View 4. Call 452-450 or 453. Tile.
Attention, attention, attention. Introducing Palmer Automotive Batteries, a leading brand in Asia, now in St. Lucia. Palmer Automotive Batteries are now available at Battery World Plus, Rodney Bay and Massad, Shimari's Garage, Blair's Auto and other leading store outlets. Palmer batteries are of the highest quality and standard with full warranty. Palmer is powered by cutting-edge technology and the leader of the new era. Palmer brand, the best priced batteries on the market. Call us today, 453-7037, 451-226. 6445-0390.
Caribbean Metals Limited presents Spin to Win Promotion. Spend $500 or more and get a chance to spin to win instant prizes. Spend $2,500 or more and get a chance to spin and enter into the grand prize draw. We have not forgotten our account holders. Pay on your account and get the same chance to win. Promotion runs the first week every month until December. The grand prize, $5,000 cash on December 6, 2019. Like, share, and subscribe to our pages on the various social platforms for more details. Terms and conditions apply. This promotion is approved by the National Lotteries Authority. Caribbean Metals, we've got you covered. Guaranteed.
Get 5 weeks free when you buy home or contents insurance from Beacon. Our insurance is very affordable, and we've got online and mobile services for your convenience. Call us at 458-5860 or log on to beacon.co.tt for a quote today.
This is Radio Caribbean International. It's now time for the weather news.
And now for the latest weather report as of 12 noon today, the 10th of December 2019, our forecasters, Thomas Ugista and Hi Cynthia Camille. The present weather at Huronera Fair and at George Giles, it's partly cloudy. Present temperature at Huronera, 30 degrees Celsius or 86 degrees Fahrenheit. And last night's minimum temperature at Huronera was 27 degrees Celsius or 81 degrees Fahrenheit. The wind at Huronera is blowing from the east northeast at 25 miles per hour or 41 kilometers per hour. And after a 24-hour period ended at 8 a.m., there was 1 millimeter of rainfall recorded at Huronera and only 0.4 millimeter for rainfall recorded at George Giles. Total rainfall for the month of December thus far, 30.5 millimeters at Huronera, 28.9 millimeters at George Charles. Sunset today, 24 minutes before 6, and sunrise in the morning, 17 minutes after 6. Now for the forecast for St. Lucia, valid for the next 24 hours. The winds blowing between the east and the east northeast near 24 miles per hour or 39 kilometers with occasional gusts. The weather, fair and breezy, occasionally becoming cloudy with scattered showers, some of which may be heavy. A recap of the forecast for St. Lucia valid for the next 24 hours. The winds blowing between the east and the east northeast near 24 miles per hour or 29 kilometers per hour with occasional gusts. And the weather, fair and breezy, occasionally becoming cloudy with scattered showers, some of which may be heavy. A marine forecast for seas in a 25 mile or 40 kilometer radius from St. Lucia. For the Castries Harbor, the high tide at 8 minutes after 2 this afternoon, and the low tide will be at 6 minutes before 9 tonight. The Vierfort Bay's high tide, 15 after 3 this afternoon, and the low tide at 21 after 10 tonight. The seas are locally rough. The waves are 6 to 9 feet, the same as 1.8 to 2.7 meters in open waters. Small craft operators and sea bathers, you are advised to exercise caution due to brisk winds and rough seas. Please be guided accordingly. For the Lesser Antilles, we are looking at the extreme southern islands of the region. Will be partly cloudy and breezy, occasionally becoming cloudy with some scattered showers and a chance of isolated thunderstorms. Elsewhere, it will be fair and breezy, becoming cloudy at times with some scattered showers. So again, for the Lesser Antilles, the extreme southern islands will be partly cloudy and breezy, occasionally becoming cloudy with some scattered showers and a chance of isolated thunderstorms. Elsewhere, we're looking at fair and breezy, becoming cloudy at times with some scattered showers. The weather summary, the Atlantic high pressure system will continue to generate moderate to brisk easterly winds across the region during the next few days, and low level moisture and instability together with an upper level jet stream will cause occasional cloudiness, showers, and possibly isolated thunderstorms, mainly over the southern Lesser Antilles during the next 24 hours. A recap of the weather summary. The Atlantic high-pressure system will continue to generate moderate to brisk easterly winds across our region during the next few days. And low-level moisture and instability, together with an upper-level jet stream, will cause occasional cloudiness, showers, and possibly isolated thunderstorms, mainly over the southern Lesser Antilles during the next 24 hours. Join us again in the morning for our next official report on this station at around 6:30. Thank you, Thomas, and hi, Cynthia, for the update at this hour. The weather was made possible by Island Style Thailand Bath, Battery World Plus, Caribbean Metals, and Beacon Insurance.
This has been RCI's Weather News. For more information, call the Weather Hotline at 454-3452. RCI 101 number 1.
Free tires, come and get your free tires, yeah. We're giving them away at Island Style Thailand Bath.
So are you mad? What do you mean free tires?
Well, madam, for every 100 tires you buy at our regular price at Island Style, we'll give you up to an amazing 25 tires free.
Really?
And to be honest, yeah, we've probably gone a little mad.
Wow, that's a deal. And good timing too. So I can pretty up my house in time for Christmas. And look how nice those tires are.
Free tires, ceramic tires, porcelain tires, all tires, no exception.
Visit us at Bella Rosa, Rodney Bay, John Crompton Highway, Cass Trees, and Latoni, View 4. Or call 452-450 or 453. Tire.
Attention, attention, attention. Introducing Palmer Automotive Batteries, a leading brand in Asia, now in St. Lucia. Palmer Automotive Batteries are now available at Battery World Plus, Rodney Bay and Massad, Shimari's Garage, Blair's Auto, and other leading store outlets. Palmer batteries are of the highest quality and standard with full warranty. Palmer is powered by cutting-edge technology and the leader of the new era. Palmer brand, the best priced batteries on the market. Call us today, 453-7037, 451-226.
Caribbean Metals Limited presents Spin to Win promotion. Spend $500 or more and get a chance to spin to win instant prizes. Spend $2,500 or more and get a chance to spin and enter into the grand prize draw. We have not forgotten our account holders. Pay on your account and get the same chance to win. Promotion runs the first week every month until December. The grand prize, $5,000 cash on December 6, 2019. Like, share, and subscribe to our pages on the various social platforms for more details. Terms and conditions apply. This promotion is approved by the National Lotteries Authority. Caribbean Metals, we've got you covered. Guaranteed.
Get 5 weeks free when you buy home or contents insurance from Beacon. Our insurance is very affordable, and we've got online and mobile services for your convenience. Call us at 458-5860 or log on to beacon.co.tt for a quote today.
And just before we get back with the lunchroom program, the Department of Infrastructure, Ports and Energy alerts the motoring public that the northbound lanes between the Friendship Inn and the Shark Roundabout will be closed from 7:30 p.m. today, Tuesday, December 10, 2019. The southbound dual lanes will be converted into two-way traffic, which means that one lane will accommodate southbound traffic while the other lane will accommodate northbound traffic. Both lanes will resume operating as normal from 6 a.m. These diversions are necessary for the successful completion of the Sandals to Shock Road road widening project. On Monday evening, the contractor, C.O. Williams, finished base works to allow for complete laying of the first layer of asphalt on Tuesday night. Crews will be focused on asphalt reinforcement on Wednesday and Thursday evening in preparation of the final layers of asphalt this coming weekend. As such, motorists are advised that because of the overnight works, there will be traffic congestions and delays of up to 30 minutes on the northbound carriage during the day. Motorists heading north from Castries are encouraged to prepare for delays or use alternative routes along the back roads, that is the Mondudor to Balata and the La Panse to Carrily through to Union, etc. The Department of Infrastructure, Ports and Energy apologizes for the delays and thank you, the public, for your patience and understanding.
Mm-hmm. And welcome back to the lunchroom. Thanks for sticking with us right here at Radio Caribbean International. And of course, we are powered by Navita Designs, Merino Construction and Industrial Products Limited. And of course, you can get all your very lovely Christmas decorations over there, I do believe. So you should definitely check them out on the Castries Groseley Highway. Now, of course, we are also trying to take in a little bit about Sir Dennis Byron within the context, of course, of the impressive accomplishments of Caribbean jurisprudence. Of course, I was mentioning that Sir Dennis was born in St. Kitts and Nevis, and Kitts in particular, grew up there. He achieved, awarded the Leeward Island Scholarship. He went on to Fitzwilliam College in Cambridge, where he earned his LLB, proceeded as well to join the Inner Temple, returned to St. Kitts, practicing barrister in private practice, moved on to become a judge in Antigua. He, in fact, presided over the very historic murder trial of the killing of the Grenadian Prime Minister, Maurice Bishop, back in 1986. He's also, of course, was knighted by the Queen in the year 2000. He became the Chief Justice of the Eastern Caribbean Supreme Court. He has also served as the president of the Commonwealth Judicial Education Institute based in Dalhousie, Canada. He's an honorary member of the bench in a temple. A number of various accolades. Of course, even then, he's moved beyond the Caribbean, and where he worked for quite a number of years in Africa, based out of Tanzania, but dealing with the UN, United Nations, International Tribunal, which was handling matters coming out of Rwanda. Of course, we know about the genocide in Rwanda coming out of there in 1994, in particular, due to tribal conflicts between Tutsis and Hutus there, coming out of, again, the colonial context of being a colony of Belgium. So certainly he served there with distinction. In fact, during that time, he was also a UN Undersecretary General, perhaps I think the only Caribbean person who has actually held such a position and has had to address the UN Security Council reporting on the progress of that international tribunal. And of course, since then as well, he has served as the Chief Justice of the Caribbean Court of Justice, headquartered in Trinidad, in Port of Spain, Trinidad. And it's very telling that we have an amazing gentleman there. And of course, his life was recently chronicled by Dr. Francis Alexis of Grenada in a publication called Law Legend, which was recently launched over the weekend in St. Lucia. Now, it's clear that we have a lot of talent in St. Lucia, in the Caribbean. Mr. Byron, in this instance, Dennis, coming from what is effectively the smallest independent state in the world, St. Kitts and Nevis. And so it shows that the level and the quality of jurists and judges that we have produced over the years in the Caribbean, and continue to do just that. And I'm saying so within the context, of course, of the fact that it has been well over 15 years now that the Caribbean Court of Justice has been operating, has been serving. Of course, there were issues in various countries across the region as to how they could, in fact, access the court. Some countries required a referenda. In the case of St. Lucia, it was, in fact, determined by the court, by judicial review, that, in fact, in the case of St. Lucia, that is not necessary, that the parliament can simply determine for itself to go ahead and make the Caribbean Court of Justice our final appellate court for matters coming out of the Eastern Caribbean Supreme Court, our Court of Appeal, which is headquartered in St. Lucia. And we would like to think that St. Lucia should have a leadership role when it comes to matters such as this, given that we, in fact, are the headquarters of the Eastern Caribbean Supreme Court, given the fact that we do not require a referendum, that, in fact, you just require going to the House of Assembly, passing the required legislation to make effect for this. And this has been a matter which, in fact, is effectively being put on the back burner. The last we heard of it, the Prime Minister of St. Lucia gave an interview, and that was at the 39th regular meeting of the CARICOM heads, which was occurring in Montego Bay. That was last July of 2018. And he said that the CCJ was not a priority at this time. Not a priority at this time. And really and truly, this is doesn't require very much for St. Lucia in terms of nobody's asking one to spend $100 million or even $600 million like we would like to spend on a Hiwanora International Airport project. This is something that simply requires an act of parliament to make this real. And it has great implications for how people can, in fact, access justice. And one of the very clear examples of given of how effective thus far the Caribbean Court of Justice has been was the a request made by a St. Lucian. He's now actually a jurist. He's actually he's a judge, I believe, in the Leeward Islands. Currently, a former professor of law at the University of the West Indies, Cave Hill, Mr. Eddie Ventos, and he brought a challenge during the last Barbados election about his right to vote in that election as a Commonwealth citizen. And his request to the Caribbean Court of Justice, his application was made after 4 p.m. on a Friday afternoon. And in fact, he managed to get a judgment from the Caribbean Court of Justice by Sunday, that very same weekend. And can we say the same for the Privy Council? Can we say that we have that means by which we can access the Privy Council in such a manner? And I think that may be very difficult to believe when we have to invariably, it means that you've got to get a lawyer to, in fact, fly to London to actually be present before the Privy Council for such matters to be done with. So it's clearly a matter that we need to address here. We cannot be talking about Caribbean unity. We cannot be talking about, Caribbean civilization. We cannot be speaking about having confidence in ourselves if we cannot deal with some of these issues. And they do have clear implications in terms of law and order. We have a law and order problem in St. Lucia, and no doubt perhaps in the rest of the Caribbean as well. But in the case of St. Lucia, we need to build confidence in law and order. And I think it's an important aspect to consider when we're speaking about Human Rights Day, given the fact that today is Human Rights Day. We desperately need a proper halls of justice, not only for the criminal courts, but for civil courts as well, not only for the High Court, but for the Court of Appeal and the magistrates and families courts as well. There's a request for more space, for adequate accommodation, for things like mediation. We need space for a proper law library. But according to what we're being told, in the words of the Prime Minister himself, it's too much money for us to build a halls of justice. So instead of doing such, the idea now is to combine the courts with the police headquarters into one building on a site which, in my opinion, is far too small to realistically accommodate both. And we really do need to get serious about the delivery of justice in St. Lucia, not only criminal justice, but also the ability for individuals to access justice to settle disputes as well. We clearly do have a major issue on our hands in terms of criminality, antisocial behavior. It is a matter that we are reminded of every single week. Just last night, there was another shooting incident in Moshi in Groseley. And so clearly we have to deal with it. But it doesn't help when we put these things on the back burner. For instance, up to this day, we still do not have a resolution on Operation Restore Confidence, on impacts. And that matter is nearly 10 years old. It's about 9 years old now. It was a huge campaign issue by the party in power, in fact, right now. And killings were committed by agents of the state. Coroner's inquests have been held. In some instances, some killings have been deemed unlawful. But still, we have not seen any cases brought forward on the matter. We were told that the issue, of course, was that we with the DPP, we now have a new director of public prosecutions. I hasten to add, I'm not sure if we can still use the word new, because it's about 3 years now that we've had a director of public prosecutions in place. And we still have not gotten a meaningful redress to this matter, whether through the courts or some sort of clear statement by the Crown Prosecution Service as to where the matter lies now. And I do note, of course, that Miss Mary Francis, who in fact issued a statement today on the whole matter, a press release regarding the whole Human Rights Day, I'm not sure that she in fact even mentioned the situation with Operation Restore Confidence and where we are at with respect to Operation Restore Confidence. I think there are some major issues that we need to take seriously, and we are simply kicking the ball further along down, or kicking the can further along down the road, without actually addressing them at all. And it has implications when people look and say, but look, this is something that has been going on for 10 years, still no justice. Do I have confidence in the justice system? Do I have confidence that if something goes wrong, that I can go to the courts and it can be addressed, that I should not have to take it into my own hands, that it should not be left up to the citizen to become judge, jury, and executioner, or it should not be left up to the police to become judge, jury, and executioner, nor should it be left up to the politician to become judge, juror, and executioner. So it needs to be addressed. We have heard statements off and on, but I think it's a matter that we need to take very seriously in its totality, because it's about the infrastructure, the absence of proper infrastructure, courts all over the place. We've seen the implications of courts being located too close to schools and in all sorts of situations. It's crying out for being addressed at that level. It's also being crying out for addressing at the level of legislation and putting the proper framework and supports in place, as well as, of course, it's crying out for support from the various actors beyond the courts, the police, the Crown Prosecution Service, the requirements for greater resources to be able to handle what is required. And I can tell you very clearly, a ball isn't going to cut it. The kind of resources that are required by the police force will not be sufficed by or suppressed in any way by what can be collected in one night for one ball. It needs real resources, it needs real support, and it needs real commitment. And I think that needs to be dealt with, as well as, of course, the Caribbean Court of Justice. Why can we not move forward on this matter? Now, of course, if you'd like to call in to join the conversation, you can do so. The number is 452-3046, as well as 724-0008. That's 724-0008. Now, moving on to upcoming issues regarding DSH. Of course, as you know, there is going to be this race day is coming up on Friday, December the 13th. That has caused quite a bit of stir amongst the local racing community. There was originally, I believe, at least two races which were supposed to have been carded, which would have involved local horsemen, local riders. I'm not sure if you want to call them Creole horses, but local breeds in St. Lucia. And certainly, I think it's something that has not gone down very well for them, because the indication that we've been given coming out is that these individuals are not going to be able to participate in these races. Now, as to how that has worked out, as to whether that is going to be the norm, as to whether this is going to be addressed, we're not too clear as to how that is moving forward. But I think it's very sad, of course, that these individuals on a national day are not getting the opportunity to actually race at a facility which was effectively promised to be for them. That was the whole idea or thinking of having a racetrack, that it would in fact benefit the local industry. For instance, we have a a cup, I think, or some sort of race, which is being held in honor of a very well-known individual of blessed memory, Mr. Winston Trim. And himself and his father, also of blessed memory, were, in fact, certainly persons who kept the flame burning in terms of horse racing in St. Lucia at their Casabar facility. And so now in the situation where our local horsemen cannot, in fact, participate, they can't show what they've got, their own skills, I think is very, very sad. I'm not sure that we're going to get anything formally said by the Equine Association. I would certainly welcome that in terms of the current state of play as to whether this is only for this race day or whether that is going to be the norm for the other race days to come. The country has put sizable amounts of resources into this project. When you consider the value of the land that was actually being used, it's over 200 acres of land that you're speaking of there. If you value that land just based on the normal commercial rates, you probably are speaking of close to $50 million of land, which has in fact just been leased over to DSH, the Royal St. Lucia Turf Club, for a pittance. And clearly, for all intents and purposes, that is a value that the state has foregone. If the state had decided, for instance, to actually sell the land to the developer outright, therefore the state would have collected revenues. And that money could have gone to lots of other things, with perhaps even towards supporting the equine industry in other ways as well. In fact, in terms of supporting, allowing these very same people to be able to purchase these thoroughbreds, which are now being put out for sale for $20,000 US. And in fact, you need another $15,000 or so US to maintain it on an annual basis. So certainly that's a lot of value there that has been put aside and put into this project. We also know that the government also had to realign an entire highway to accommodate this project. There were costs involved there. $13 million, we were told, that work being done by CO Williams, a company which, in fact, was there from the beginning in terms of the overall DSH planning, because if we are to listen to the Prime Minister, in fact, he said that it is Sir Charles himself who came across with Teo Aking from Barbados the week after the general election of June 2016 to introduce Mr. Teo Aking to the Prime Minister and introduce that whole project of DSH. Of course, so it's Charles's company that, in fact, had to build the road or was awarded the contract to build the road for that DSH project there. And, of course, the individual in question is a very avid horseman over in Barbados. So we can understand the connections as well, perhaps. But therefore, we have made an immense investment into this project. And it really would have been a pittance when you think about it as well, a token type of support to be able to provide this one race to the individuals of the Equine Association so that they could, in fact, participate. It wasn't taking away very much from them to do so, in my opinion, given the amount that has been provided by the state to allow for this horse race track to be established. But be that as it may, so I'm sure there'll be lots of individuals who will be looking to get their lovely dandans, their outfits, their wonderful attire ready for the 13th. And that is on, of course. But the indications coming out of Event St. Lucia is that the concert is actually not going to be held at the horse racetrack anymore. It has now been relocated. The new location is the Philip Marsler Grounds. Apparently, they were not satisfied that the location was going to be suitable enough for a concert of that nature. And so they have had to make the decision, a last-minute decision, to relocate the concert to the Philip Marsler Grounds. So I suppose, in effect, you don't have to dress up anymore. You can just go straight to the Philip Marsler Grounds for the concert. But of course, if you'd like, you can always take in the horse racing, because I know St. Lucians love to see something new, and we love novelty. The question, of course, is, can that be sustained? And again, I hearken to St. Kitts, where there was a very similar investment in a part of St. Kitts called Deep Bay, a horse race track set up through CIP funds. There was a real estate component as well built into the project, just like in DSH. And yes, it was built. The racetrack was built. No grandstand was built. Stables were built, just like in the case of DSH, which of course are the lower cost elements of ensuring that you have a racetrack operating. And that was done. And I believe they had about maybe two or so race days happening over in St. Kitts. And since then, the project has not really been able to sustain itself. Well, we promised a number of race days in the 2020. Of course, I'm not sure that it's going to be as grand as this first one, of course. As to how whether it'll be able to sustain itself, we will have to wait and see whether one big race day a year is sufficient to actually sustain what is being promised there. But in the meantime, I'm sure St. Lucians will be looking out for the 700 private jets. Lots of interest, of course, coming out of DSH. And we'll be able to have a chat about that a little bit more later on during the week for our next two shows. But we're out of time here for at the moment, so we would like to thank you very much for listening. Hopefully you'll be able to take in a little bit. I want to review the IMF report for St. Lucia, as well as the Doing Business report for 2020. That'll be on the menu for tomorrow, among other matters. I'm your host, Calix George Jr., saying goodbye.